Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm about to be joined by Joaquin Hagopian, who is a brilliant guy. We're going to talk about several major issues today, including, of course, the Trump indictment, which is about as insulting as it gets. There's no justification for this. We've been through it before. I guarantee 100% it ain't going to be worth a paper it's printed on.
Recording in progress.
Hang on. I have Joaquin with me now, I'm very pleased to say. Joaquin, can you hear me, my friend? I want to talk about what's happened here with Trump. Alan Dershowitz. I don't see how an administration can charge a presidential candidate, he asserts. Legal expert Alan Dershowitz told Newsmax that he has significant issue with a DOJ decision to indict former President Donald Trump Thursday. Speaking with Sebastian Gorka in a special segment, a Harvard Law School professor emeritus explained he does not see how an administration can throw charges at a candidate running for president to replace them. Unless the indictment is the strongest case since former President Richard Nixon's obstruction of justice back in the 1970s, this is a disgrace, stated Dershowitz, author of the book, Get Trump. Hello? No, I'm on the air. When you have the current administration going after a man who is potentially capable of unseating them, it better be the strongest case imaginable. It better be the case that would get bipartisan support. However, Dershowitz pointed out, Republicans are not on board with the indictment. The full slate reportedly includes 7 counts, including violations of the Espionage Act and conspiracy to obstruct justice. But the professor still urges viewers to wait until Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern for the former president's scheduled arraignment to see if they actually have smoking guns or not. If they don't have smoking guns, this is an indictment that never, ever should have been brought if it's anything like a close case, and it looks like it is a close case. Dershowitz maintained the Justice Department special counsel, John L. Smith, would not be able to make a case Trump intended to use the documents housed at Mar-a-Lago for foreign espionage. If President Trump believed that he had declassified the material and that he was entitled to possess them, which I guarantee you he did, then it can't be a crime to refuse to turn them over. Meanwhile, Don Bongino to Newsmax, a police state is here. Syndicated conservative radio talk show host, former Secret Service Special Agent Don Bongino, told Newsmax the announcement of former President Trump's indictment Thursday was proof a police state is here. We live in the police state, Rob, he said on the Rob Schmidt Tonight Show. The police state is here. It's not coming next week. It's not going to be here next year. The police state is here now. The idea that you live in a constitutional republic, take it, wipe your rump with it, flush it down the toilet because that's gone. The police state has been here. It's been here for years. You're just seeing manifestations of it right now. Bongino, who worked in the New York City Police Department for 4 years before joining the Secret Service, including the Presidential Protection Detail during the terms of George W. Bush and Barack Obama, said the indictment served two purposes. This is, you know, probably Act 7 in a play of election interference by the Democrats here. They just want Trump off the ballot because they know he's most likely going to win. So that's the obvious one. We've almost come to accept that acts of malfeasance are normal, or Democrats interfere in elections like it's almost no big deal. The second, he said, had to do with revelations that the document House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer has been pressing to obtain from the FBI contains accusations that the head of the Ukrainian oil energy company Burisma paid then Vice President Joe Biden $5 million and his son Hunter another $5 million in a bribery scheme. You have to understand what's going on, Bongino added. The timing here is not accidental. Evidence came out today, hard evidence, that the President of the United States, while he was Obama's vice president, was involved in the biggest political payoff in human history and a political scandal. This is all about making Trump go away and covering up for not just Biden, but covering up for Obama. Remember, Biden was a vice president. If he was paid a bribe for policy decisions, what policy decisions? He can't make them. He was Obama's vice president. Everything is about covering up for the Obama-Biden regime. That's all this is. The timing here is not accidental. Trump disclosed via his Truth Media social platform he's been told he's been indicted in connection with an investigation into presidential documents he had at his Mar-a-Lago, Florida home. He's to appear in court on Tuesday. Now, here's a discussion with Chris Cuomo. I'm not a big fan. You're going to hear different points of view, not all of which I agree with, but there's some important points made here. Check this out.
Nobody here is surprised. It was always a timing issue, but now we have it. Jesse, assuming the universe of fact as we understand it to this point, what do you make of an indictment at this time by the federal government?
Well, I actually think it's very much the opposite of what your guest was actually saying. It's because Donald Trump is, in the eyes of the Department of Justice, he's below the law. And people like Joe Biden, who have engaged in very similar behavior, are viewed by the Department of Justice as completely above the law. And that's the really unfortunate thing about this, is this is a political prosecution from a prosecutor who's unfortunately known for bringing political prosecutions. And it's a very, very sad, unfortunate day in America.
Jesse, look, I get that they don't like me is going to be part of this, but that's an optic argument, not a legal one, especially when just on the facts, I don't know what Biden did and didn't do, knew and didn't know, that certainly should be investigated. I have no problem with that. But the big problem for Trump in this situation was that they were asked to return the things and the requests were denied. They were lied to, they say, and he played the system. So the former president was doing something that certainly if you had a client, you'd be advising them not to do, which was playing with the teeth of the tiger. So on that note, Professor Dershowitz, in terms of, I know you don't like this. I know you don't think this should have happened. But what do you think the best step is for the former president?
Well, I don't know whether I like it or not until I see the actual indictment itself. If this charges allegations that were like what President Nixon did, I'd be all in favor of
which
the
is
indictment.
Why, give us some meat on the bones.
If it just charges that he played hardball and was very tough and didn't cooperate and didn't do what Joe Biden did, that doesn't sound to me like the basis for an indictment. But I'm not going to rush to judgment. I want to see the actual terms of the indictment. I think the headline is that the indictment is in Florida, where Donald Trump has the chance of getting a fair trial, right, rather than a District of Columbia, where he would have very little chance of getting a fair trial. That's the headline, the fact that the indictment is in Florida, not the District of Columbia.
Right, although to Renato's point, if he has a quarter of a Dershowitz on his team, he shouldn't be seeing any litigation until after his best defense, which would be winning the election, because they know they'd have to hold it in abeyance if he were president again. You know what my big question is? Jesse Banal, I'll ask it to you. I want to know what the documents are, because I don't see all documents as equal. They may be to the prosecutors, but I want to know what they are, because if you're going to go after a former president during an election, the documents that he had better be things that I need to be worried about. What do you make of that issue, Jesse?
Yeah, and that's a good question, Chris. And what I'll say is, while I still do represent him in other matters, I don't represent him in this matter, and I don't know the answer to that. But what I will say is the efforts that he took in order to declassify information and the legal right that he has to retain information makes it that this very well is probably a legitimate dispute about what documents are properly classified, what documents are properly considered presidential records, and what are and which documents are not. And that's not something that should be brought in a criminal courtroom. It's something that at the very most should be a topic of civil litigation. But they are just absolutely gung-ho to go after Donald Trump. And that's the really unfortunate part of this.
Renato, what's your take on the documents and on the procedural value?
Yeah, I have to say, I just think those recent comments were silly. I don't take them seriously. I think the Attorney General for President Trump, Bill Barr, put it best when he said that Trump jerked around the Justice Department. The reality is that if one of my clients had classified documents in his office or in his home, he would not get an engraved invitation from the Justice Department to return them like Trump did. He wouldn't get a letter. He wouldn't get a visit. A personal visit, he wouldn't get a request, he wouldn't get a subpoena. They would have searched his home on day one, taken the documents. The fact is, he was treated with kid gloves. In Barr's words, and I agree with him, he jerked around the Justice Department, and this is the result. Now, we'll see what happens. This is in Florida. I agree. I think this will happen after the election. I also agree with Professor Dershowitz. Let's wait and see what the indictment says. But based on what we know publicly, anyone who claims that they're surprised that there's an indictment here is not being heard.
Well, but
jerking around the Justice Department is not a crime. Jerking around the Justice Department is a tactical decision. Lawyers make it all the time. I sometimes cooperate with prosecutors if I think that benefits my client. Sometimes I do everything in my power to prevent the prosecution from getting my client. Plead the fifth, plead the fourth, plead the sixth.
Yeah,
that's not.
I do the same, Professor.
Constitutes a crime.
I do the same.
Jerking around the Justice Department may not be a nice thing to do, but it's not a crime.
That they're offered the chance to return. That's the difference. If my client has meth in his trunk and the government's like, look, we'll give him a pass, just give us the meth back, that's
a
great deal.
Hey, thank you for watching. Please go to News Nation now.
Hey, Joaquin, I'm so pleased to have you here now. We anticipated we were going to be talking about Ukraine, the dam, and all that, but look here. This is a dam that is broken with Trump to be indicted. I want your thoughts, my friend, about what the hell is going on here.
It's been a witch hunt for how many years now? What, six? As long as he's been president, and even before it, obviously. And it's so incredible that the other side has committed so many crimes, and they're all scot-free. They never get indicted. I mean, it's just so lopsided, it's sickening. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Donald Trump, but I can recognize a witch hunt and total unfairness and injustice And I think everybody sees that. You have to be a fanatic leftist Democrat, you know, hardcore to actually, you know, be on the side of the prosecution here. So, yeah. It's a joke.
Very good. Very good. Let me add to that. Here we have a FBI doc says Burisma exec paid Biden $5 million in alleged bribery scheme. $5 million. Many believe that's why they did this today, to distract from this massive evidence of fraud by the now president of the United States. So this isn't the real Joe Biden. I believe it was a real Joe who committed those offenses. We got a fake Joe. Here's an executive of Burisma paying Vice President Joe Biden $5 million as part of a bribery scheme, according to an FBI document, part of the House oversight probe into the incident. Biden's son, Hunter, of course, was a member of the Burisma board. The unclassified FBI FD 1023 document has been central to a whistleblower probe Republicans on the House Oversight Committee have been trying to get turned over to them. Fox report, it hasn't seen the doc, but it was briefed by sources who have. It's dated June 30th, 2020, based on an FBI interview with what the agency describes as a highly credible confidential source who talked about meetings he or she had with a top exec at Burisma over several years, beginning in 2015. I wouldn't be surprised, by the way, if this were not Tony Bobulinski, who was a finance manager for the Biden crime family, where Tucker had Tony on his show during the debates, and how he just about jumped out of his seat when Biden was up there declaring he never had business dealings or discussion with his son, Hunter. I would not be surprised if that is the source. The form doesn't indicate the information is true, but the informant is one of the higher paid informants and has worked with the agency since 2010. According to the document, a Burisma exec asked the FBI source, who's a business professional, for advice on getting U.S. oil rights and becoming involved with an American oil company in 2015 and 16. The confidential source asked the exec why he or she did not just ask Hunter's advice since he was on the board. And the Burisma exec reportedly answered that Hunter was dumb, G-U-M-B. The Burisma official then reportedly told the FBI source the company had to pay the Bidens because the company was being investigated by Ukrainian prosecutor Viktor Shokin, and that would be difficult to enter the American market while under the probe. The FBI source then said he suggested the Burisma exec, believed by Fox source to be extremely high level, pay the Bidens $50 grand each. The Burisma exec replied the figure wasn't $50 grand, but $5 million. $5 million for one Biden, $5 million for the other, the Burisma exec told the FBI source. One other source described the payments as a retainer for the Bidens to deal with several issues, including the Shokin probe. Another called it a pay-to-play scheme. The sources told Fox the FBI source believed the payments to Joe and Hunter were the result of his or her conversations with a Burisma official. The Burisma exec reportedly told the FBI source he paid the Bidens through so many different bank accounts that anyone investigating wouldn't be able to unravel this for at least 10 years. Meanwhile, Trump prosecutor Jack Smith led political DOJ cases. McDonnell, Edwards, Menendez, and Smith started working for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Brooklyn in 1999. Smith was involved in the prosecution of Charles Schwartz, one of several former New York City cops implicated in a high-profile police brutality case involving Abner Luema, a jailed black inmate who'd been assaulted by police with a broomstick. Some of us remember that. In 2008, Smith left to supervise war crime prosecutors at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. He returned to DOJ from 2010 to 2015 to head its public integrity section. This is ironic. Under Eric Holder, Attorney General for Barack Obama. After leaving DOJ in 2015, he served as an assistant U.S. attorney for the Middle District of Tennessee became acting U.S. attorney in 2017. But during his time at DOJ, he faced scrutiny by Republicans for his part in the Lewis Lerner scandal involving IRS targeting conservative or religious groups over their tax-exempt status. Jack Smith was looking for ways to prosecute the innocent Americans that Lewis Lerner targeted during the IRS scandal, said Jim Jordan. Smith admitted looking into the matter after seeing interviews with Lerner and another IRS official at the New York Times, but testified no action were ever taken by his office. Among others are the following. Smith secured a conviction of former Republican Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell in 2015 when he was with the DOJ for bribery-related charges, but the Supreme Court unanimously overturned the conviction in 2018. In November of 2022, McDonnell said regarding Jack Smith, "I think there's a real judgment problem." Smith pursued a case against Democrat Senator John Edwards for allegedly using money from his presidential campaign supporters to get filmmaker Rael Hunter, with whom he was having an affair, as his wife was dying of cancer. That case ended in a hung jury and a mistrial. He also prosecuted Senator Bob Menendez in a bribery scheme with a Florida ophthalmologist, also resulting in a mistrial. Earlier this month, Representative Jordan launched a probe to conduct oversight over Smith's probe into Trump for the handling of papers at Mar-a-Lago, seeking an unredacted memo over the scope of Smith's probe. Let me just say, in relation to what Joaquin is observing, here's a summary. Hunter Biden, zero indictments. The big guy, zero indictments. The Clintons, zero indictments. Epstein's client, zero indictments. Anthony Fauci, zero indictment. DC insider traders, zero indictments. Iraq war criminals, zero indictments. COVID criminals, zero indictments. But when it comes to Donald Trump, it's unceasing. We had the whole Russiagate thing, obviously fraudulent, exposed, blown up in her face, two impeachments, all this Mirago, the raid and all that, more, Joaquin, this is so disgusting, I find it repulsive, I'm embarrassed to be an American, I used to be so proud of my country, today the situation has totally changed, America has become the laughingstock of the world, your thoughts?
Yeah, very true now, unfortunately. Yeah, I'm making comments like we don't even have a government. It's a mafia. It's a Khazarian-run mafia that owns the world. And there really are no countries because there's no more sovereignty. There's no national sovereignty observed. And, of course, they're going gung-ho with the whole pandemic treaty next year. They're coming back with that. And they're still pushing the whole thing with the mandates on the shots. It's all coming. It may not be COVID-19, but it's going to be Marburg or some other pandemic. So, I mean, they just keep using the same weapons over and over because they work. They manage to keep the focus on the people that are being persecuted. And then all their crimes... Everybody in the government, it is so deep state and obviously a swamp that it's just corrupt and they look the other way. That I think Soros has bought too many judges and we have a completely corrupt system that's not willing to take any cases and really prosecute as it should. It just everything is bought and sold and corrupt. It's a very sad situation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's not just embarrassing. It's repulsive. I mean, we have no law and order. We got to completely politicize the FBI, completely politicize the Department of Justice, all the principles for which this nation, this once great nation, is supposed to stand. Equal justice under law are a figment of the imagination. Nobody believes it. Frankly, the overwhelming majority of Americans no longer believe it. They no longer buy the bullshit. And I can't think of a better illustration than this absurdity, bringing these charges against Donald Trump for what even critics would admit ought to be a civil issue, not a criminal issue. They tried to, you know, force it up by a real stretch of the law. This Jack Smith appears to be the perfect instrument as a corrupt player to bring these politically charged cases. Joaquin, it's just shameless that they do this in such a brazen fashion. Shocking.
I think that something is going to have to give. And I've been thinking that there's going to be some kind of false flag action, some kind of event that is going to be a main event that is going to shock the world. And, you know, I can only hope that there aren't a lot of fatalities involved. But obviously, I kind of see a bigger picture where we have the cabal that, and, you know, and I'll talk a little bit. The cabal consists of mainly bloodline players like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, the royal families of Europe. And they make a lot of decisions. They put the people in power that are the puppet, and it's all a puppet master system, and it's all completely, but here's the thing. I think we're seeing all these signs of, you know, World War III coming and all the rest, and all of this is a sign of desperation, in my view, because they know they're being exposed. It is so outrageous that people, you have to be almost blind to not see the reality here, because everything is so distorted. So I think that there's going to be a lot of hell to pay, because they're floundering and they're, unfortunately, they're cycling.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought, Joaquin. We'll continue right after this break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, before I bring back Joaquin, just think about this. You know, I was given that list. This is from a tweet by someone who calls themselves End Wokeness. Hunter Biden, zero indictments. It's not as though they don't have massive evidence. Hunter Biden's laptop is just bristling with evidence of all kinds of crimes. I mean, sexual abuse of children, smoking, you know, illegal substances, corruption, one after another, after another, after another. The big guy, zero indictments. Well, there's all kinds of evidence there, but he even went on the Council of Foreign Relations and explained how he manipulated the Ukrainian legal system to get the prosecutor fired by threatening to withhold $1 billion in foreign aid. The Clintons! My God, do you have any idea how much is on that Anthony Weiner laptop? Evidence of Hillary's corruption? I mean, horrific crimes. Joaquin could give you a very detailed list. This is stuff that would shock even the most diehard Hillary supporter. Epstein's clients, Fauci, DeSai, insider traders, all that. It's not as though there were a lack of evidence here. There's discretion exercised by the prosecutor not to bring these cases. Remember when James Comey gave a whole litany of crimes that Hillary did, and then he said, but no reasonable prosecutor would pursue it. That's absurd. He was contradicting himself. He was giving a whole litany of reasons why a reasonable prosecutor would pursue it, and then he declared no reasonable prosecutor would pursue it. Joaquin, this is such a disgrace and so discrediting of our Department of Justice. I'm ready to vomit.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about revolution, but how does it manifest, you know? How do you change this old institution that's become so corrupt from the outside as a citizen, you know? You know, I mean, petitions, I don't know that those things work. You know, we have to try and figure out solutions. That's you know, where we need to focus, I think. Because, I mean, we can just keep digging and digging for all the crimes, and it's not going to change anything unless we actually find some kind of movement that can actually make change.
I'm inclined to believe, you know, that there are two or three motives at work here driving the Democrats to do this kind of happy horse shit. The most obvious is distract from the fact that Biden's, you know, this evidence of a $5 million bribe. Dan Bongino makes such a nice point. If this is to affect policy, then he's got to be splitting the money with Barack Obama because he was only the vice president. He's not in a position to shape policies. That's the responsibility of the president. So I think there's no question here. They want to deflect. I think Obama is the guy who's pulling the strings day to day behind the scene. You know, Soros, yes. Rothschilds, yes, as we move up the ladder. Obama's the guy with the hands-on experience. Then, number two, I think they want to tie up Trump. They would, if they possibly could, of course, want him to be discredited, not being allowed to run for president in 2024. They know he is going to clean their clock. They know that the techniques that they have used in 2020 and 2022 may be unavailable in 2024 because everyone's watching. We're on to them. But my God, if we can't get rid of Dominion voting machines when we know they were designed to steal elections, how irresponsible is that? This requires some kind of grassroots action. But the third place, when we got this invasion going on at our southern border and more recognizing it is an invasion, these are young military-aged men. They don't already have their equipment, their weapons in hand. But it turns out that the executive branch has spent $4 billion on military equipment for EPA, Social Security admin. I mean, agencies that have nothing to do with defense or law enforcement even. They are situated in caches around the country. And now DHS has given all these young men cell phones to direct them where they can obtain their weapons. And Joaquin, as I see it, ultimately, they're going to be occupying our homes. They're going to be killing us. They're going to be taking our property. You know, the mayor of New York is already suggesting private homes should take in migrants. Can you imagine how it would affect your life to have a migrant living in your home, Joaquin? Your thoughts, my God, this is horrific.
We almost saw this coming, basically, where the individual rights of homeowners, any kind of property owners, you know, they're saying for a long time with the reset, you know, we will own nothing. And that's where we're headed. They will confiscate our property. You know, what do they call it? The domain?
Eminent domain.
Eminent domain, yeah. I mean, it's just like, and the way that they have given these, quote, refugees, migrants, recruits, you know, replacement recruits for the actual American people. The way that they have given them so much in the way of support, you know, and then the way that the regular people, citizens of America, get no support. You know, it's just in our face everywhere you look.
Right. We, the taxpayer, are paying these people to destroy our company. We're paying for them. They're giving these loaded debit cards to migrants. They're giving them all kinds of benefits. They're even putting them up in hotels at taxpayer expense. They're going all out for the migrants. This is an America Last policy you got with Biden. I find it just appalling beyond words.
Well, because there are a lot of people that have been pushing the idea that the continuity of government and Trump is still president, is still in charge of the military, and that they had to allow things to get so bad. This is the theory of a lot of, I call them hopium pushers. Huh? But anyway, maybe you have a sense that there are military that are about to basically pounce, and that there are tribunals that have been going on or arrests going on. We just don't see them yet.
Hopium, yeah. I think that's hopium. I mean, there's sources reporting all this kind of stuff. There's something called real raw news, and I only wish it were true, but I have yet to see a headline that I find credible. Joaquin, if there is not a coup to overthrow this government, I mean, America is dead. I mean, we stick a fork in us, we're done.
No, I don't know. I mean, they've armed all these, you know, what, the 87,000 new hires of the IRS and all of these agencies that are nothing to do with military or police operations, but they're arming and training them. And you know where it's going. I write about this. This is my main topic now. Genocide. Human genocide is what this cabal of basically the haves of the 0.001% of the earth are the haves, and they control the billions of us have not. And it's like, I don't know what it's going to come to, but there's going to be some violence come. I'm amazed that the conservative right wing has not actually been more violent. And yet, there was just something that I came across today. The group that is considered the most dangerous for mass casualty events in America, here it is. U.S. military veterans. Oh, my God. It's like, I mean, you know, obviously they go after anybody that disagrees with the leftist Marxist regime. Anybody, you know, if you're for Trump, then you're the enemy, basically. But, I mean, here, you know, veterans, they take the oath, and they live by that oath right past their military days. And then you have these traitors in the office, and they take oaths too, but then they do the opposite of defending our Constitution.
Joaquin, do you know that Mayorkas and Blinken and even Garland seem not to have signed their oath of loyalty to the United States and its Constitution? That's no accident. And that reveals what's really going on. We are being betrayed at the highest level. We have been sold out.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought everybody that has, I guess if you're a cabinet member, maybe you don't have to or something.
No, they have the oath. They just said they haven't signed them. They have not executed them. That means they're not actually properly, lawfully executing their office. In other words, this is a monster fraud, even legally, constitutionally, a fraud.
I mean, is it by law that they have to sign?
That's my understanding, yes.
I mean, we're seeing it in our face every day where, you know, rules for thee don't apply to me, you know. It's a two-tiered system, one for all of us, you know, the have-nots, and then, you know, they're unreachable. They don't play by the rules.
Listen, the reason originally, of course, I wanted you on is everything going on in Ukraine. It's just kind of been preempted by this indictment, and it's such bullshit. Give us your latest on Ukraine. I mean, it appears to me the destruction of the dam was another form of diversion. Just that we got Biden with 5 mil bribery evidence, it appears to be conclusive. You have the counteroffensive failing in Ukraine, so they want to cover it up by doing an action of last resort. I mean, you got this high-ranking Ukrainian general last last December talking about taking out the dam as a last resort, and now they've done it. Your assessment.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. It's very straightforward. First of all you have to do is look at the history of how Ukraine has operated, and they're just like America media. All they do is lie. Everything in it is lies and false flags. So that's the history of Ukraine. And basically, Russia comes out a lot closer to the truth with all of the events that they both report on, the mainstream media and the Russian media. I go to RT a lot. They're obviously state-owned, and probably they have a little bit of bias. It's a night and day difference between what's closer to the truth and then the total lies from Ukraine and the United States and the West. It was real obvious. This counteroffensive was a nothing burger. They repelled all the movements, all the offensive action on the part of Ukraine was successfully repelled. They did not make any gains at all in territory. And they lost, in 3 days, they lost up to something like 5,000 soldiers in 3 days. Something like over 400 armored vehicles lost. 115 tanks lost. I mean, there's a minefield that they've set, the Russians and the Ukraine. They're just pushing them. That's how, they're even having, back in Vietnam days, in the last few years of the war, there was a thing we called fragging.
Yes. Where
there were guys that knew that they were being ordered to their death. And so rather than die, up against the wall kind of thing in a battle where, you're gone, they turn the gun on their, commanding officer, the man giving them the order. And that now is actually happening in Ukraine. It is just such a travesty of justice to see what's happening to the Ukraine people. They're not going to be any more males in Ukraine. And, of course, there's been millions of people. It's like 14 million. I mean, there's more people almost that have left Ukraine than are still living in Ukraine. It's just a wasted zone. But I've also considered there, and I'm sure that you've encountered this too. Israel has a design basically to move a lot of their citizens who are Ashkenazi Jews that have homelands, ancient homelands in Khazar, which is Ukraine presently. And they have a whole plan set out. And Zelensky basically has made deals with Israel. And, so when they wipe out the population of Israel, they're going to bring in Israeli citizens, I think. I think that's
The population of Ukraine. Yeah. I think that's absolutely right. Zelensky's talked openly about making Ukraine a big Israel. And he's trading on an ambiguity because he talks about security and citizens who are armed everywhere. By the way, I don't see any objection to armed citizens in Ukraine or Israel. In fact, they tout it. So why are we trying to take guns away from Americans? They should say we're emulating Israel, where they have citizen soldiers everywhere. And Zelensky is saying that's what he wants in Ukraine, citizen soldiers everywhere. But also he means over beyond that to make it the new Israel. Henry Kissinger, about 10 years ago, said in 10 years there won't be an Israel. I think that's coming true. That the Palestinians are becoming more powerful. The Iranians, I think, could take out Israel today with non-nuclear weapons. I think they want a new Israel, and they want it in the old Khazarian region, which is modern-day Ukraine. I agree 100%.
Well, and what's good to see is actually, without the presence of America in the Middle East, it's pretty much vacant now. The Arab are all getting along. Iran and Saudi Arabia, you know, but China brought them together and brokered their normalizing relations now. And it seems like the coalition of the Arab states now, without the influence of America and Israel, too, because a lot of even the Gulf states that had gone along with Israel for decades, they're all banding together now as a solid, unified Arab state. And I think it really increases their level of power. So I agree that you know, I think Kissinger was pretty, I mean, they do plans decades in advance, and he had, and I think he probably made the statement off the cuff. I think it was a journalist that he was a friend with or something that was present, and then she actually spoke it publicly about that, you know, in 10 years, they're going to be gone. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a very real possibility. But the design, though, for Israel, they're going to eliminate the Ukrainian population and then the mass migration from Israel. Yeah, I don't think it's going to work. And I think that...
Elaborate on that, Joaquin. Why do you think it's not going to work?
Because I don't think that Putin... He is going to keep pushing Ukraine until there's no Ukraine. Because if they intend, and you know, we have Jan Stoltenberg, you know, the NATO, they're all, you know, Ukraine is our NATO member, you know, de facto. And, you know, it's like, it's not going to work. Putin will not tolerate, basically, warheads on his border. He will not tolerate it. And that's all he's wanted all along. You know, they always make the case, oh, if we don't stop him here, he's going to invade further west into all of Europe. And, you know, they want to make him like a Hitler. You know, he's just trying to expand into empire, you know, the Soviet bloc empire. And it's all bullshit. I mean, all he wants is basically autonomous respect for his national security border, where there are neutral countries along the border.
And he's been unambiguous about it from the beginning, Joaquin. He's always been very explicit about this. I mean, you know, there's no room for misunderstanding by the West, which they thought they could use this to sucker in Russia, take it out, and then divide the massive Russian empire into subdivision, just as they had the continental shelf off of Vietnam subdivided for the big international oil companies. They were already planning who's going to get what massive section of Russia, which meant seven time zones. I mean, the United States, three, Russia, seven. It's the largest geographic nation in the world. And it's a utter failure. Americans just have no comprehension of what Russia represents or the superiority of the Russian military equipment to American. I mean, you know, they've heard all this bullshit about how we have this great military. We have a first ship military. Russia can wipe us out in hours. It's not even going to take that long. Oh, the Satan 2s, 15 independently targeted warheads can take, one missile can take out all of France. I mean, Joaquin, the average American is so naive, so gullible, so uninformed. America ignorance is legion.
Yeah, it's all by design, of course. You know, you get control of people if you misinform them and tell them lies all day long. So the big question that I've been asking for a long time now, and I don't think that we're going to get the answer until after this whole Ukraine situation is settled. But my big question is, the City of London, the Rothschild, the, you know, Kissinger and Associates, they groomed Putin. to take over for Yeltsin, the alcoholic. And so, and that was like back in the 90s, they did that. So by 1999, he was the next guy that came up. And for a little while, you know, he of course, is ex-KGB. And for a little while, he just played the game in a quiet way and low-key. And they had a sense that he, this is the Rothschild cabal, had the sense that he was on their side. And I think, this might be my own, you know, wishful thinking, but I think he has broken with the Rothschild cabal. I really think he has. He talks about the degradation and the degeneracy of the woke, whole generations, transsexual, LGBT, and how he embraces family values, Christian, Orthodox, all of this. And the man makes sense. Everything he says, he's the only world leader that pretty much everything that comes out of his mouth and his speeches, it all makes sense, and it's reasonable and seemingly fair. I have some reservation here, and it might be from Western bias about Russia, but I think he takes threats of other people. No doubt, you know, there are a lot of other oligarchs there in Russia that want him dead, and so he has to play somewhat of the game of taking others out because he wants to survive. But my sense is Russia has had a pretty poor...
Hold that, Top Bucky. We got another break, and we'll be right back. Stand by.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, King, before we get to another report that NATO may start sending its own forces into Ukraine, which frankly would be suicidal for NATO, Russia can take out NATO effortlessly, effortlessly. I mean, the stupidity of what's going on here. But it's all driven by the Rothschilds, I have no doubt. It's all driven to make Ukraine the new Israel, I have no doubt. And they're willing to use all of the United States, all of the assets they build up over the years, controlling the U.S. media, controlling the U.S. Congress, controlling the U.S. executive branch. They're willing to shove all that into the pot. They will fight this war to the last American soldier. And they don't give a shit about America. They do not give a shit. Your thoughts?
Well, again, yeah, I think they are afraid that the people will react to the truth and want them hung on the nearest tree. You know, George H.W. Bush once said to, I forgot her name, the reporter.
Sarah McClendon.
Sarah McClendon, who was the White House reporter there for a long time. And, he said, hey, if they knew what we were doing, we'd be strung up.
That's right. He said, if they knew what we've done to this country, they would chase us down the street and string us up. Yeah.
And the same applies to all basically the bloodline dynasties in control and so much. I think they definitely are trying to take down the West. I mean, that's in process now. The deindustrialization of Europe, the planned reset with basically the economic and financial infrastructure, everything, that system is collapsing. Everything is happening at once. There all these weapons of mass destruction, well, certainly not in our known history have we ever encountered anything close to what we're experiencing now. They want 90-95% of us gone, and they want us to be basically hooked up to, you know, the quantum computer, mind control, AI mind control, not be human. That's what they're going for, and it's up to us, the people, to fight them to the teeth. If it means death, it means death. But we will not live in slavery, in this dystopian, weird kind of...
Well, you and I won't live in slavery, Joaquin, but I think there are a hell of a lot of Americans who aren't even going to know the difference.
And they already are living in slavery and don't know it. You know?
Yeah.
I know. There's so much ignorance out there. I mean, Americans... I mean, they have been probably more brainwashed than any other country on earth. They're just clueless. But we're talking in generality. I do think as more and more of the outrageous, horrific crimes against humanity come out, and that's why I go back to thanking you, because you were the first person that approached me. I've written about 6 or 7 articles on the pedophilia problem, and you approached me, and then I ran with it. And, you know, with a little help from Robert David Steele as well.
I approached you about doing a book. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I did that basically because I felt like if there's anything that are going to get people off their ass and want to get active with changing the horrific kind of situation we're in, it's what they're doing to our children. And so I felt that was the best shot. And it's also good to see that Mel Gibson is coming out very shortly with a 4-part documentary series on exposing the pedophilia network on the earth. It's a global network, and he, I understand, has done a 4-part series now that's coming out very shortly.
I'd have to imagine your work was a tremendous resource for him.
Yeah, I think my work's been a tremendous resource for a lot of people in this domain. But yeah. And then there's the Jim Caviezel movie. Of course, he played in Last Temptation of Christ, which Mel Gibson directed. And he's playing in a movie now that's coming out on July 4th. They actually previewed it in Vegas at one point about a year or two ago. But it's coming out for a larger opening on July 4th. And it's I think these documentaries and the movie coming out, they're all about basically, well, one, the documentary is exposing my understanding of what is the network of what is. That includes they use children up and then they actually extract organs and harvest and traffic those. But the movie, it's about there are ex-military intelligence, even ex-CIA, that are involved in basically being they go in and they rescue children. And, you know, they're heroes. They are heroes for what they do. And that's my understanding of this movie. I can't even think of the name, but the movie with Jim Caviezel is about that, the story of these guys that are going in there all around the world. It's obviously a very big global thing. And it's all interconnected.
We may have had just a brief disruption there in our connection. What do you think about this idea of NATO pouring troops into Ukraine? I mean, it's, in my opinion, it's suicidal. Your thoughts?
Yeah. No, I agree that NATO is ill-equipped to even go head-to-head with. I mean, it can't happen, but. You know, in the same way that Zelensky, because he's being told he must do this, send every Ukrainian male, 60 down to 13 or something, out there to be killed. And I think basically it's going to amount to the same thing. It's going to be basically, they're going to get pulverized.
A bloodbath.
The hypersonics yeah. That the West doesn't even have developed yet.
Right.
It's sacrifice. It's sacrificing the West. The West is going down. They already put their marbles with the big world manufacturer of China. They manufacture everything. And then we got the vast resources of Russia. And they're looking at that. And, you know, back to that question again. I hope to God that, Putin, I can't trust Xi from China, because where did they get the whole digital ID and, the whole social credit score? They get it. That's modeled after China, oppression. And so I'm not real high hopes on them being the rescuer, and nor am I really with Russia either. But I evaluate what Putin says, and he's a very thoughtful. He doesn't act. He doesn't say stupid stuff like all the rest of the politicians. And, you know, I'm hoping that he's for real and really does oppose the Western cabal, the corrupt cabal. I'm really hoping.
Well,
I'm all for the multipolar system if they make it so there's freedom and autonomy and sovereignty. If it's that way, I'm all for it. But if it's just same as the old boss, you know, with the Rothschild cartel behind these two front guys in Russia and China, then it's same as the old boss. So, and I don't know yet.
Well, you know, I mean, I agree with you. I think Putin is the real deal. And everything he writes and everything he says confirms it to me. And Jacob Rothschild, no less than eminence, has declared that the New World Order cannot move forward without Ukraine, and that Putin is an enemy of the New World Order. Now, I think that's a vindication right there, Joaquin. I mean, I think he is the real deal in my judgment.
Well, I definitely want to believe that. You know, I think he could lead a whole movement, because obviously in all these quote woke Western countries, the vast majority of the population do not agree with the decadence that they're pushing on us. You know, that I just saw a story in Glendale, California. I used to live in Pasadena and I worked in Glendale at Glendale Adventist Hospital, and the Armenians are a big community in Glendale, and the Armenian men, the parents, the fathers, they came out and they said, hey, we're not going to have it here. You do your woke stuff and the transgender crap. We're not doing it. And they had to bring in 60 Glendale police from these guys beating up the
family. That was wonderful. And I was born in Pasadena, and at one point lived in Glendale. So I mean, I share all those sentiments. I mean, God bless this Armenian community for standing up. They set an example for Americans, for God's sake, generally.
I think we're going to see a lot more of that now. I think that's going to set the precedent because of political correctness, and they call it hate speech. That's their method now. They call you hate speech, and then they'll put you in jail for telling the truth, basically. But there is so much repression amongst the more conservative-minded people that are so fed up with everything they're seeing. And, you know, they're afraid. A lot of them are afraid to actually speak their mind. But I think when we see something as overt as these Armenian men, you know, knocking these pansy, you know, woke people, I think it's going to kind of release all this tension that's been building for years.
Yes, yes. There's nothing in about the First Amendment to protect offensive speech. That's okay. That's the whole point of the First Amendment, to say things people don't want to hear, to say things that upset people. You don't have to protect conventional or popular speech, for crying out loud. But that's what political correctness did. You're not supposed to say anything that would offend anybody. And that means basically not saying anything. I mean, it's so effing insulting. It's so insulting, Joaquin.
Well, Well, and look at what they're doing with teachers that finally speak their mind about all this woke nonsense. They're firing them. The university level, high school level, all the levels of education. Now, it's just insane what they're putting in. And that's how they got to a lot of the younger generations. They knew we got to reach the younger, and we're at war with the American family, the parents. We're usurping the parental rights. We're at war with the family unit. We're at war with Christianity, and we're at war with the patriots that believe in national sovereignty. And do you know that back in 1776, a couple of months even before the signing of the Declaration of Independence, that Adam Weishaupt and Ansel Rothschild, they got together, and they were the Illuminati Order of Bavaria in Germany, and it was written way back in 1776. They had all the obstacles to one world government. Even back then, they were envisioning one world government control. And those three things, national sovereignty, the Christianity, religion, and the family unit, were the enemy obstacles to that one world government wet dream that they've had all these centuries.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
Yes. Yes, I agree completely. And I also agree Vladimir Putin extols all three. I mean, he's a proponent, and he mentions no words about it. He's so very clear in his dissection of the corruption of Western society, transgenderism, and the whole bit. Joaquin, I'm personally convinced this being given extra motivation because Michelle is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving. And it's weird. You've got this creature up there behind the scenes, and they want to normalize all that. So we're just supposed to accept and adults having sex with children. How revolting is that?
And, you know, you look at these kind of globalist organizations like the United Nations, they sponsored a report that came out on March 31st, not long ago. And basically, they're advocating it there. They decriminalize adults having sex with children. That's their agenda, decriminalization to basically normalize it.
Yes. Yes. And by the way, when I was talking about their motives for going after Trump now, the third may be the most important, and I don't think I quite made it explicit. He is the only figure in America today who could provide the leadership to oppose the Biden admin and get this mess cleaned up in Washington. Now, he is the only one who could do it, Joaquin. And I think they're just trying to tie him up so he doesn't even have time to think twice about what the hell is going on.
They're definitely afraid of him. I mean, he had a lot of the wrong people around him in his first 4 years. And I hope he can avoid that. You know, they make deals where in order to be president, you have to have concessions of having like Mike Pence as your vice president. But he needs to stay clear of the William Barr and the Mike Pence and all these guys for him to really make a change to clean the swamp like he promised. I'm worried that 2020, by the time he gets voted in,
it's too late. You know, it's too late. It's too late.
2025.
Between now and then, Joaquin, the country is surviving or falling. And as far as I can see, it's falling. We're in the toilet now. All they got to do is flush.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a country by then.
No. It's going to be polygot. We're just going to have a mix of little tribes in there and gangs running the cities and who knows. And you have a few militias that may be able to stake out reasonably civilized behavior in regions like maybe Montana. You know, but I'm telling you, most of the country is going to be infested with these migrants. We're going to have internecine warfare. forms of guerrilla action taking place. This is all by design.
Yeah, they've been planning it a long time, and they have to make adjustments and speed their agenda up, you know, 2030, now 2025, you know. And, you know, but they were expecting Clinton, of course, Hillary Clinton, to win. It was kind of a long shot that Trump made it.
Yeah.
And it was, they had all set World War III with Hillary and the pandemic. They were going to bring that on.
Yes. Yes. Trump was a major bump in the road.
That's why they tried so hard to go after him, because they are threatened. All the
Absolutely.
Establishment that's out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just find the whole thing just grotesque. I mean, it's so childish, amateur, it's obvious, it's so corrupt, and it's so blatant. It is so blatant. Talk about rubbing our faces in it.
We've never seen it like this before. It's getting worse and worse. You know, I wish that we fought the stolen election and refused to leave the White House. He, first of all, even right after the election, there was probably half the people in America that knew it was not right. The guy in the basement for the whole time, he's not popular. He was always a fixture in Washington and represents corruption. And, you know, Trump, he's still mentioned. He got more votes than any incumbent president ever to be, you know, going up for a second term. If he stayed there, he could have fought it, and I think he could have won. He would have had the backing. They say that he didn't because it would have been civil war and all this. No, what do they got? Antifa, they got the woke generations. You know, they would have been no opposition. The majority of America would have wanted him to stay in. Because I knew where it was going with him out and Biden coming in. I knew. Obama was there to, from within, destroy America. And he's still there. He's almost like the politician puppet master behind Biden.
Yeah. My call, too.
Biden is there to finish the job.
That's right.
Take down America.
That's right.
They're doing it. They're doing it. It's like, Trump's got to do something. He can't just sit on the fence there waiting for the election. That's not going to work.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is not going to work. By the way, this thing about NATO members sending troops into Ukraine, I don't think that can work either. And just to mention here, I discovered a very interesting little video I want to pull up here about, here it is. East and West Coast of the U.S. are swarming with Russian submarines. Look at that. Look at this, Joaquin. I'll have to read it. This was not observed even during the Cold War. The east and west coasts of the U.S. are swarming with Russian submarines. The U.S. military complains that Russian submarines are behaving very brashly and arrogantly. Russian submarines began appearing regularly off the coast of the U.S. performing daring maneuvers. According to the U.S. military, Russian submarines move at full speed to the American coast and then dive to depths rapidly and disappear. They do it so masterfully, the Americans cannot detect them. The behavior of the Russians unnerves the White House, and the Pentagon has already expressed its concern. Military expert, note this was not observed even during the Cold War. Russian submarines force the Americans to spend a lot of effort and resources to detect them. However, all attempts to detect Russian submarines lead to nothing. Thus, Moscow makes it clear to Washington that in the event of an escalation, the U.S. will not be able to escape punishment. It looks like Putin gave a very clear signal to the West. Whether the West listened to Putin's signal, we'll soon find out. Joaquin, I think that's what he's doing. He's being very blatant about it because he wants us to get the message that Russia's prepared for this war, which they don't want. We seem to want the war, but we're not prepared to fight it. I mean, he's doing everything he can to make it not happen, but we're going to do it anyway.
You know, they take their orders from the Rothschild and Rockefeller cartel. You know, and they want war. So we're going to war. I mean, it's ridiculous that the puppet.
We'll take your calls right after this break. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. We await your calls.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
By the way, Mitchell, my producer, just put up that Mexico's announced it's also joining BRICS. We do have a caller, and he must have been frustrated over the last several shows when I haven't been able to take his calls because he's usually the very first to call in. Brian, join the conversation. Your thoughts.
I was, because I had something really interesting that I uncovered on the Benjamin Fulford question and answer series he has every Thursday, and it just made my jaw drop, and I just wanted to share it and get your thoughts on it. And
sure.
I don't know if you remember, it's been maybe a month or so ago, I was talking about the Chabad rabbi, Menachem Mendel Schneerson, okay, who gave a speech in 1994, how they were going to instigate a war between Ukraine and Russia, and the Russians would be involved in it because they would think it was to defend their national interests, the Ukrainians for their survival, but they were going to annihilate the Ukrainians because they're a Slavic, they're the Analek, you know, the Aryans. We can't convert them. We have to destroy them. So it blew my mind because this speech was given in 1994, and on Benjamin Fulford, someone called in, and they were curious why Zelensky got all fidgety when some journalist in, I believe it was Moldova, wherever, asked him a question about Prishigin, the head of Wagner Group, talking to the Ukrainian government. And it really kind of freaked him out. And they wanted to know what was going on. So Fulford said, well, let me check with my sources. So he got back and he said, well, what they're telling me is this Prishigin is also Chabad, and that he's part of that movement. And what was going on was in Bakhmut, the Ukrainians were hijacking, you know, kids and old people off the street and sending them there. And then the Ukrainians would give the information, the coordinates of where they were bivouacked to Prishigin, so Prishigin's artillery could annihilate them and they wouldn't last longer than 4 hours.
Yeah.
And it just made my jaw drop because, you know, it's what they do. I mean, if you're familiar with Edith Laval, the British nurse in Belgium who uncovered all these shipments of food going to Germany from the Allied nations to keep the war going, and she raised hell. And so the British called the Germans, the deep state, for the two and said, you got to get rid of this woman. So the Germans had her executed. And it's just the kind of thing they do in every war to try and kill as many of us divine beings as they can. But it just blew my mind to read that. And I know Fulford doesn't really follow the war that much. He doesn't talk about it. So when that information came out, and I do, it just made my jaw drop. So your thoughts on that?
Well, this seems consistent with Joaquin's observation. You know, If they want Ukraine to be the home for the new Israel, they want to get rid of the resident inhabitants. What better than to have Russia wipe them out? Joaquin, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Ukraine is a battlefield for a number of different angles, and certainly a big one is they want it for Israel, but I don't think Russia is going to let them have it. I think that basically, I think it's going to require Russia to go all the way to Poland as far as the border.
Yes.
And with Belarus, I think that they're probably going to have to do that.
Yes.
Just to secure that border country.
Right, right. Russia can't settle for just Crimea and the Donbass, which was the original plan, I think, of Putin. But they can't do that because it will be ongoing intermittent warfare forever. They have to take the whole country, Joaquin. I think you and I agree.
Yeah. Well, back in, April of last year, I mean, it was only 2 months into this whole operation, they were ready to settle. And even Zelensky was going along with it.
It was the U.S. The U.S. sabotaged all that.
Yeah. Boris Johnson went in, basically on the orders of the U.S., to kibosh it and say, this isn't going to happen. We're going to string this war out, and we're not going to settle. But that would have ended up with basically just Crimea and the Donbass. They wouldn't have taken the Kherson or Zaporizhia.
Yes. So,
you know, he's going to have to go all the way. I
agree.
I want to minimize the bloodshed, though. I mean, it's just a massacre, you know?
Yeah.
It's very hard to watch.
Yeah, there are a lot of bodies strewn around the battlefield. Brian, further thoughts?
Well, I totally agree that Russia cannot let this continue, that this Chabad plan is falling apart because they thought these sanctions would do to Russia what they wanted. And what really told me, too, that what I was getting on Prashigin being Chabad was true is the fact they said he wanted to run for political office. And I know a lot of their press is basically deep state. And, you know, he's been making a lot of statements critical of the Russian general staff and a little bit on Putin. And they said he wants to run for political office. And so what I see going on now is a campaign to undermine the Russian military and Putin by the dark through this Prashigin, have him run for office, and then him be the replacement for Putin. You know, they're making him look like this hero of Bakhmut, and he's the one that, you know, was the winner of that and everything. And so I can just see their game. And there would be nothing worse than to have someone who's involved with Chabad be the leader of Russia. So anyway, that's just an observation I had with everything coming out. I couldn't figure out why Prashigin was making all these, you know, statements. I mean, it was just not like a military commander to be so critical of your superiors. And it made sense then, too, why he was bitching about artillery shells. You know, the Russian military is probably aware of who he is, what he is doing, but they, you know, they have their deep state they have to fight too, and they probably were limiting his artillery knowing what he was up to, and that's why he raised so much hell about it. So anyway, that's what I think.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track. There is some issue, it appears, in the military, whether Putin not to have taken more decisive action immediately. In other words, one presumes, could have settled this early on, but he wanted to do it in a way that preserved the infrastructure and brought about minimal civilian casualties. I think that was his objective, and it has just led to being played out because the Ukrainians are so nasty, and now, of course, we've had everything else that's gone along with it, the Nord Stream, the blowing of the dam. Tell us, Joaquin, that was going to be a primary subject of our conversation. Tell us about the dam.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, they're in desperation. They know that they don't have the weapons. They don't have the ammo. They don't have the personnel, the soldiers. And it's a war of attrition on the part of Ukraine, and they can't last very long. And as hard as the West is trying to pour all their, you know, their weapons into Ukraine, what, 70%, the majority of them end up on the black market, so they don't even end up on the battlefield.
Can I especially worry about Stinger missiles handing, you know, can be used to take down civilian. All kinds of havoc can take place by having these very sophisticated weapons on the black market.
There are these terrorist organizations that are picking them up, too. I don't see this war. Of course, I have been saying this a long time now. I thought it would take a lot shorter time to finish off Ukraine. But as you said, you know, the big priority for Putin all along has been he does not want to decimate the civilian population, and he is only going for military and energy infrastructure and the military targets and ammo dumps and stuff like that. He is sticking strictly to the military strategy and trying to leave as much of, you know, basically Ukraine intact, including the civilian population. But the other side, the West, you know, backed by the cabal and all of this, they're just, that's why they did the whole dam bust, you know? They knew that their great offensive was not working, and they wanted to wag the dog to some other direction, misdirection, so that people won't pay attention and realize this war is not going very far now. Ukraine has nothing left.
Right, right.
Jim,
nothing
can,
left.
Can I make a...
I mean, but sure, Brian, but blowing the dam, as the general said, was a last resort. Now they've blown the dam. So what do they got left? Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, on the dam, I follow the military summary channel because that guy's from the area. I think he lives in Belgrade or whatever that region is, right there by everything. And what he said is that the eastern side of the Dnieper River is actually lower elevation when you get off the river than the western side. So
yeah.
The reason the Ukrainians blew the dam was the Russians had all their defenses, you know, fairly close to that river, and then that flooded them, and they ruined their defenses along there. They had to move farther east, and that allowed them to take a lot of the brigades that they had on the western side in that area and pump them into this offensive. So you notice that happened when their offensive failed, so they could get those brigades farther north that were in that area, that dam, and throw them into the meat grinder. So that's what he said. And I
found
it true to me.
The so-called counteroffensive has been an utter failure. The Russians wiped them out right off the bat. But, I mean, it became a much more difficult war because NATO was beefing up Ukraine with all these sophisticated weapons under the cover of the Minsk agreements, which was done in bad faith. So, that, you know, how could Russia trust the West after using the Minsk agreement as a cover for the massive military buildup of Ukraine? Joaquin, I see the West as having no integrity, no credibility, which means we cannot have peaceful, conventional diplomatic relations between nations anymore because the U.S. and the West has no credibility.
Yeah, I mean, the lesson of the Minsk for Putin is, no, you can't trust the West, you cannot trust NATO, or you cannot trust the United States. You know, the way they played the Minsk, they had it all along that they were going to take the Donbas, they were going to purge the Russian population in the Donbas and Lugansk. And that's what they were doing. 14,000 died before the whole operation of poop coming in February last year. So that's their agenda, is just trickery and deception and then sabotage the other side. But it hasn't worked because, one, militarily, Russia is so far advanced compared to the West. And two, you know, if you play it right, I've always believed this, if you play it right and honorably, you get a better result in the end. You might be able to cheat for a little while and deceive, but it all catches up. And it's catching up with the West. I mean, I hate to see it because obviously as Americans and Europeans, you know, we have gone after the most wealthy, most affluent continents on this earth, also the most basically composed of Caucasian population. They're going after all of them, and you know that Deagle.com site, it absolutely, it looks like they're going to be very precisely correct in their predictions of 2025.
Down, I think U.S. down to what, 66 million?
I think it went down to 65 or 6. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what, we're 330.
I know. I mean, they originally had 99 mil by 2025, then they revised it downward.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's very tragic what's happening. But, you know, I always say you have to go local. You have to basically be able to have other people that you have, that you can rely upon. And get your food situation done. Of course, they're going after all kinds of rules and laws about you can't even grow this or that. I mean, it's just insane, the control mechanism that they're trying to exercise on the population. But it isn't going to work. There is going to be a lot of pushback.
The sanctions so massively backfired. I think Brian's right. They counted on the sanctions to eviscerate Russia economically, and it had, in fact, the opposite result. And now we have a multipolar world. The de-dollarization has taken place. The quality of life of Americans is going to descend precipitously. And, of course, with the invasion, I mean, I think America's done, Joaquin. I think America's done. I mean, it was a great idea. I'm reminded of Mahatma Gandhi being asked what he thought of Western civilization. He said he thought it was a good idea.
It is tragic. It makes me very sad to know what's happening. Basically, the whole West, you know, it was a decision that the cabal, basically the bloodline players, they wanted to take down the West, elevate China and Russia, and be a partner with them. And I think with Russia anyway, they don't have a partner in Putin. Xi, I don't know about. I can't say one way or the other. That's why another reason why I want this war to get over, because we're going to really see what the multipolar world looks like with those guys mostly in charge now. And hopefully, the cabal that represents, you know, the Rothschild cartel, the banking, all of that's going to be gone, I hope.
Well, we have destroyed ourselves. I mean, it came from within. The Democratic Party betrayed the Constitution and democracy. They went full force, communist, socialist, authoritarian. It's disgusting and repulsive. I just never imagined I could witness such a thing in my lifetime. Up until Trump, I pretty much voted regularly Democratic. I even voted for Bill Clinton twice. I voted for Barack Obama twice. But once Trump came on the scene, it was obvious the difference. And I'm supportive of the man in spite of his flaws. He is the guy who cares about this nation par excellence, head and shoulders above anyone else, including DeSantis, who now appears to me to be a Zionist pawn.
He says the good things and he does a few good things and it makes you think that, oh, okay, yeah, he's for state rights and he's against the woke crap and all that. But no, when he went to Israel and kowtowed to the Zionists, that tells you a lot right there.
Yeah, I was very upset with that.
Yeah.
And of course, Trump has a 34-point lead to Gilbert DeSantis. I mean, as far as I can tell, the primary's over before it began.
Yeah, there's not going to be any real contender to try and compete.
And you know, it's Bobby Jr. He's so good on the vax, but he's also a Zionist fanatic, I'm told, Joaquin, and he's also opposed to the Second Amendment. What the hell's going on with this guy?
Yeah, he has come out with some weird stuff that makes me think that, you know, yeah, he's right with the backs and all of that, but beyond that, you know, he's got some problems.
Yeah, I think he's all but a lost cause, even though I celebrated when he threw his hat and then bringing all of the good stuff about Fauci and his book. He's been a champion there in the children defense thing. I mean, that's all wonderful stuff. But I think it's very, very limited what he has to contribute potentially.
Yeah, I agree. And he didn't have a chance anyway. The Democratic Party's so rigged anyway that they would not allow him. I mean, not that I'm a Bernie fan, but Bernie would have won the primaries and gotten the nomination.
Yeah.
But they cheated him out of it.
That's right. They transferred 13 primaries to Hillary that Bernie had won. And then we argued in court they'd have the right to do it because they were a private company and the courts agreed with them. And that's what got Seth Rich killed, of course. He was upset about how they'd abused Bernie. So he revealed, you know, all this DNC data, which got him whacked. Brian, I don't know if you're still hanging in there, Brian, but if you have a further thought, throw it in.
Well, when it comes to these vaccines, my sister in Florida has her best friend, her son's a doctor, and she didn't want to get the vax, and he said, oh, you got to get it. So she went and got it. Her daughter, who was 40 years old, got it. Well, the daughter just died, okay, and her, you know, myocarditis, whatever it was, heart problems, and died.
Right.
And now this best friend has what appears to be leukemia.
Yeah.
So, and then the other end of the spectrum, I had a girl that lived with me a few years back. Her boyfriend was beating her, and I said, look, you can move in with me, and you'll be safe. And she had the baby. She wouldn't take any prenatal vitamins when she was pregnant because she did research and found out there's something in them that turns into arsenic. Okay. So she did everything natural. Ultrasounds cause sterility in children. That's why right now there's so many couples are having trouble having babies because ultrasounds kill sperm and eggs. And it alters the brain chemistry. Okay,
wow, that's
so
fascinating, Brian. I'm unaware of that. Fascinating. Go ahead. So what happened with her? So, did she deliver a normal birth?
She delivered a normal birth. They tried to give her vitamin K shot, and she said, no way. I don't want any of this crap.
Good.
So... And then she even, there's a thing where when the baby is born, they immediately squeeze off the umbilical cord.
Yeah,
and
I know. And there's all these nutrients and developing your immune system in the umbilical cord. Yes.
She wouldn't allow that. Okay. She went to one of these natural birthing things. And so that baby boy now, okay, you can really see the difference. I mean, you cannot believe the difference in this child over other children. You know,
wonderful.
I was with her and we were with another, you know, baby that was like 8-9 months older, and he was much more aware. He's much more intelligent. You don't know what a real baby's like.
Yeah.
Until you do all this, and no one's doing it. No one knows. I mean, the children would be totally different than what we see, and I've got this test case where I can see it.
Yeah. So, Anyway. Brian, that's wonderful. I'm really pleased you called in. Joaquin, it's sensational to have you on the air with me again. Please give us some final thoughts. What may we anticipate in the near term?
Well, I think that there's going to be a lot more weapons of mass destruction that the evil ones are going to throw at us. There will be probably false. Yeah, I think there's going to be some false alarms going off and some fatalities. But I think that in the end, we will mobilize our resistance against this evil cabal that's trying to take us all down. I think that it's going to require, but I'm afraid, you know, because of the complacency and the passivity of Americans. I mean, you see them out in the streets all the time in Europe and other places, but very little in America. Well, I think that there's going to be a lot more pushback coming up as times get harder. You know, when that happens, there will be pushback.
Well, Joaquin, it's just been wonderful having you here. Everyone, visit my blog, jameshwetzer.org, for his latest. I'm regularly publishing his brilliant blogs. Check them out there. This is stuff you don't want to be missing. I'm just delighted Brian called in. And let me simply close by reminding you all, we do not know how much time we have left. If it's nukes, it's going to be all over for 100 million the first hour, 200 million shortly thereafter. The living will envy the dead. Don't miss an opportunity to spend with people you love and care about. We literally do not know how much time we have left. Thanks for being here and have a great weekend. Back Monday.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global...